Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A punt by Alex Butterworth. Davis backs up, fumbles the football. Penn State recovers. Michael Furman on top of the ball at the 26-yard line. Second and three, Zwinak hurdles. First down to the 5-yard line for Penn State. Back goes Shielhouse. Blitz by Monty, and down he goes. Back at the 23-yard line. Quarterback sneak, Matt McGloin to the goal line. Wait for the call as they come in from the side. Good surge by Penn State. Touchdown, Penn State.
Good Monday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Nittany Lion football team coming off a 35-7 win over Illinois in the Big Ten opener Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. The irony is the two teams out of the gate, and it's just 1 week down with seven to go, but Ohio State and Penn State are the two teams in the leaders division that ended up with victories on the opening day. Indiana lost. Of course, Wisconsin lost. Penn State beat Illinois. Purdue played a non-conference game and had to hold on against Marshall 51-41 on Saturday. And, of course, Wisconsin lost at Nebraska, had a big lead, and then lost that lead 30-27. The Huskers finally won it Saturday night. Now the Nittany Lions get ready to take on Northwestern Saturday at Beaver Stadium in the annual homecoming game. It'll be a noon kickoff. Northwestern is 5-0 this season, undefeated so far. Right now it's Northwestern and Ohio State is the two 5-0 teams in the conference, and Penn State gets Northwestern in a golden opportunity Saturday in the annual homecoming game at Beaver Stadium. We'll talk about that and a lot more as we roll through the show this afternoon. Today's show, the Monday edition, as always, being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to PurdyInsurance.com. Again, PurdyInsurance.com. Lenape Solar Hotline is open today at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can always go to Lenape Solar at LenapeSolar.com. And we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get rolling with today's show and take those calls, talk about the issues of the day, first of all, above the noise, here is Dan Patrick.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible, from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands, like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit SunburyMotors.com to see all their new and used inventory, and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Today's show, as I mentioned at the top, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. You can go to PurdyInsurance.com, located at Market Street in Sunbury. You know, Kevin is all excited about Indy returning to Pocono.
You have no idea I saw the release come out late last night that the schedule of the schedule, and I actually woke Daniel up from a mid sleep to tell him I was that excited.
Really?
Oh yeah. I'm like, Daniel, guess what?
What?
Indy's coming to Pocono. It's official, July 7th.
Yeah.
That's great, Dad. Are we going to go? I'm like, yeah. Okay. Wake me up when it starts. He didn't have quite the same excitement level that I did, but, you know.
You are on the same page.
Either that or I was going to call you, and I figured you'd just send it to voicemail anyway, so I thought I'd save you the trouble.
No, send it to voicemail.
It just happens to go there, that's all.
I just don't answer it.
Yeah, first time that they've been at Long Pond since 1989, a track that was actually built after open-wheel tracks, the track in Trenton. Indianapolis Motor Speedway is mirrored with turn two, I believe. And I think turn three is after the turn at the Milwaukee Mile.
You do know it's football season, right?
I know it's football season. But for just a few brief moments, I want to get excited about the summer of 2013. All right, that's it. I'm good now. You can go back to football now.
I see. You sent an email.
You know it's part of a triple crown, right? You get the $1 million for the driver that wins the IndyCar 400 at Pocono, the Indianapolis 500, and the Auto Club Speedway race in Fontana in September.
Used to be Ontario.
What used to be Ontario?
Part of the triple crown. Used to be Indy, Pocono, and Ontario were the Triple Crown.
I don't remember Ontario. Ontario?
Ontario, California.
There's an Ontario. I did not ever hear about that. And I've been an open wheel fan a long time.
Used to be 500. Used to have a 500-mile race in Ontario, California, but man.
Interesting. Goodness. Interesting. I did not know that. When was that? Ontario Motor Speedway.
70s and 80s. Yes. In Ontario, California. Go ahead. You got your computer there.
I am. 400 miles east of L.A. It opened in August of 1970 and closed in December of 1980. Well, that's probably why I didn't know.
Ontario 500. Yes, I see your Facebook post now. No Spikes game that day, Steve. Tell them now. Fabulous.
The last time they ran open wheels was 1978. I was seven.
Let's see. The Spirit Reachers, like the Steve Jones Show.
Yes.
I'm more excited about that.
I'm glad.
Motti earned second Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week honor.
Gee, I wonder why.
Usually when the national people tell you you're the player of the week nationally on defense, the conference usually does have to follow suit. They don't want to look like idiots.
They kind of feel obligated.
Like, okay, now this week, I can tell you right now in no uncertain terms, there are two major challenges in this week's game. Okay? Two major challenges. One is you must identify where Kane Coulter is on every single snap. Sometimes he's a quarterback, sometimes he's a tailback, sometimes he's a slot receiver, sometimes a wideout. Okay? The other one is a huge special teams challenge for Penn State. Very big special teams challenge for Penn State. Okay? In this one. Simple as that. It's going to be a very Jeff Budzien is 11 for 11 this year, place kicking. They're pretty confident as a group that if they get the ball to the 25-yard line, they're going to get points. And
That's big. Brandon Williams is having a very good year as the punter. And Venrick Mark is one of the top punt return guys in the country. He's averaging better than 25 yards a punt return. To win this game, Penn State is going to have to be in the neighborhood on special teams. That means coverage, the whole deal. Those are the challenges of this week's game. Now, I apologize. I want to apologize off the top. I didn't mean to bring it back to football from open so, wheel racing.
Sorry. Yeah. They just broke into the top 25 this week, didn't they?
Yeah, they're 22.
Okay.
So they are there, which is fine, except for one problem. Here's the problem Northwestern has. They have been, in recent years, a very good September team. They have been, in recent years, a very good November team. They have not been a very good October team. Why, you might ask?
I was thinking about that.
Classes begin today at Northwestern for the fall.
So they haven't had class in the month of September?
No.
Really? Wow.
It's an academically world-renowned school.
Yeah.
So I'm really not worried about their academics or their schedule. But I believe they're on quarters.
Okay, I understand, but that is a little unusual, isn't it?
Not at Ohio State. Ohio State just changed over to the semester system Penn State has. So Ohio State normally has gone through, I think Ohio State, I don't know if they've completely changed yet, but Ohio State usually goes through the month of September just playing football.
Oh. I was not aware of that. And I did know people that went to Ohio State.
The light bulb goes on now for many people. Oh. How about that? No, I found your email. I found your emails in here. They're right next to the
yeah, great.
Oh, look, there's a sale of pennies. Just kidding.
By the way, there could be a good first quarter. Penn State, they're outscoring, 49-0 in the first quarter, but they're putting up 37?
All right, that needs to keep up. That needs to keep up. They need to continue to get out. You have to get out of the gate fast on this team. You need to get them behind. All right? I mean, need to get them behind. That's a very important element in all of this. Is you have to play with the lead against these guys. Defensively, they are giving up just 90 yards rushing a game. Now, part of this is a product of they've been playing with the lead. So that's part of the reason that you have so many, you have more passing yards against Northwestern than rushing yards. They have been playing with the lead with one exception. There was one game where they were behind at halftime. So that's, sometimes you have to be just a little bit cautious as to when you look at numbers and how you judge numbers. All right. So they've been playing with the lead, but teams have not done a good job of running the football against them. And we will hear Pat Fitzgerald's press conference at 3:35. Oh, unless there's an open wheel press conference someplace we need to go to.
They actually already had that.
Oh, what a relief.
Yeah, I knew you'd be worried.
Wow. Good.
I'm telling you, I already have your seat. Your seat's already booked.
Really?
Yeah.
The game Saturday. You don't mind if I go back to that?
No, go right ahead. It's your show.
Yeah. This is where, I'm I'm the one actually judging the audience right now.
It's your show. Go ahead.
You know, If you want, we can talk about this open wheel thing for the next hour and a half.
Well, I found it interesting that I actually learned something. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think there were many things that you could tell me about open wheel racing that I did not know. I know there's a lot of things you can tell me about football that I don't know, and I'm sure there are a lot more people interested in that, so I'll let you go right ahead.
We were shocked about the Ontario thing.
I'm impressed by the Ontario thing. I didn't even know there was an Ontario, California. I thought maybe you were getting it confused with the Vancouver race a few years ago.
No. Sometimes I lay low on knowledge.
Okay. I'm not going there. Tell me something. Tell me something. Average per carry for Northwestern's quarterback.
Who? Coulter?
Yes.
He's averaging 6.3 yards a carry.
Wouldn't that concern you?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not always lined up at quarterback. You have to account for him on every single play as to where he is.
But, I mean, that's just scary numbers, even for a guy that plays part-time quarterback, if you want to put it that way.
Well, see, Simeon there now. See, now they're lining him up in the slot. Sometimes he's a quarterback. Sometimes he's a tailback. Sometimes he's a pure wideout. You see his numbers, 9 catches, 131 yards. All 9 catches were in last week's game. That's where they unveiled it.
How would you compare him to what he does for Northwestern as to what Tettleton does for Ohio?
Well, not even the same realm. Tettleton lines up in the same spot every single time. Braxton Miller, Denard Robinson, Taylor Martinez all line up in the same spot every time. This guy lines up everywhere except next to Pat Fitzgerald.
Only on defense.
I would prefer to see him line up next to Pat Fitzgerald.
I don't blame you.
Venrick Mark, who's their outstanding return. Now, the kick return part, Venrick Mark's an outstanding kickoff return guy, but that's been neutralized somewhat this year with the new rules. Kicking off from the 35-yard line, touchback at the 25. That 10-yard gap closure, even though you only are allowed a 5-yard run-up when you start, but that 10-yard gap closure between where the ball's kicked and what a touchback means has meant very few kickoff returns this year for most teams, including Northwestern. It's when you get him into the punt return realm where you sit there and go, oh, my goodness, 25 yards of punt return, including an 82-yarder for a touchdown. It's going to be a heck of a game. This is a game to get juiced about. This game to get excited about. Between Northwestern and Ohio State, two really great Beaver Stadium games in the month of October to get juiced about. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Reed in Sudbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sudbury Motors Studio, 4th Street, Sudbury. Sudbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Let It Be Solar hotline open.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Excuse me.
You got all choked up over the beginning of the show. You're excited. Yeah. Deep down, you're excited about this IndyCar thing. I can feel it.
Yeah, let me put it this way. In this world of Saudi Arabian oil, they don't drill for oil that deep.
I wasn't bad, I gotta admit.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Reed in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Lenape Solar hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to Lenape Solar at lenapesolar.com. And, of course, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Which on July 5th will be at Long Pond.
At Sunbury Motors? Of course they will be.
No, I'm working to move the whole show to Long Pond for the 5th. I probably should have run that by you first, but. You know.
Yeah, you probably should have.
Well, I told you, don't book a game there. So tell the Spikes, I'm sorry, that has to be a bye or a bye game or a off day or whatever.
Yeah, I'll call the New York Penn League now.
Well, you're telling me about all this pull you have. You know all these people. Now's your chance.
I don't talk about any of that stuff. When do I ever talk about that?
No, I said you know all these people. I should.
When do I ever talk about that? It drives you nuts. I don't.
No, you know all these people. I'm saying you know all these people. You've said how you know all these people. Now's the time to use the connection. Time to open up the Rolodex. Time to get the cell phone open. Flip that thing up and find that number.
Just so you can have a moment?
I don't get many, all right? I don't get many.
Well, we'll continue this in a little bit. But first of all, Pat Fitzgerald. What a job he has done at Northwestern. He stepped into the most incredible of circumstances, the death of Randy Walker as the head coach, and has just done, I think, a marvelous job and virtually every level you can think of at Northwestern. Team's off to a 5-0 start. They beat Indiana 44-29 at Evanston at Ryan Field on Saturday. And earlier today, his press conference took place in Evanston.
Let's get right to it. Let me start about looking back in the rearview mirror and look at the players of the week from last week for us. Our special teams player of the week was Jeff Budzine. Again, just incredibly consistent right now and everything that he's doing from his place kicking to his field goal attempts. Really proud of the way that Jeff has progressed. Again, I thought perfect spring over the summer and is off to a great start here. Offensively, to no surprise, our player, Fortiak, who's an active big playmaker with those big third down, obviously the way he played. Basic first career, did a great job. Practice a nice one. He had a great Scanlon flow, breakdowns. Other got done meet with the leaders, and I looked at him and said, a number of you guys were not nominated by your coaches for player of the game. I think that just goes to show you aren't necessarily best game of the year. Or, I challenge those guys to have their preparation to take one guy with them and be 24 guys to really play to their consistency and love we get ball team. But a very difficult challenge for us to play with a program I think has just really done a terrific job. Coming together, playing very physical, very efficient football that is playing, I think as hot as anybody in the country right now. They've played very well the last 3 weeks. Very impressed with the way they played on Saturday down in Champaign. Before we get going, a couple of injury updates. Very optimistic that all guys that were injured in the game on Saturday and a couple on the injury for this game, but we'll just the wing and I'll give you my injury report on Thursday. But again, I'm optimistic those guys will play. Some things that have occurred over a couple of weeks. Rod, the outfielder, so we'll get him for 4 years. So with
five. And can you just explain how that works?
Exactly.
Coach, I was just wondering if you calls that you were talking about mentioned again. Now they're in position. What exact just is it contesting it better?
Yeah, I think the contesting was fine. I mean, there's kind of an old philosophy out there in secondary coverage and wide receiver routes. He who jumps first usually catches the ball. And in all those routes, we jumped second. So we'll try to jump first this week. It's not a whole lot more complicated than that. I thought the guys had good all but one. When they ran a wheel route, unfortunately, we had talked about it. That practice didn't expect it. We got to do it some more. We're going to continue to see it. But, Nick was still in position. He's just got to be poised in the moment. We got great confidence in those guys. They're playing pretty well.
Coach, your thoughts on being nationally ranked now and the expectation that comes with that?
Yeah, Drew, I'm not sure there's an expectation change internally. I mean, we it doesn't really matter to me if we are or we're not. It's completely out of our control. We're focused on ourselves, and I might sound like a broken record, but that's kind of how I talk to the team. We have not put together four quarters of, clean football yet in all three phases. So until we do that, and even when we do that, I'm still going to find things that we can improve on. So, we're far from where we have internal expectations on where we can be and how we can play. So that's really our focus here.
Let's see. Okay, here we go. You got Kane listed as the starter. Is this a week-to-week thing? Going to keep other teams guessing? How do you handle this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way that we'll operate. I don't see any change. Game plan will dictate how that gets adjusted throughout the week. So I'd say that with every position. I mean, because I could put something down here today, and then as the week goes along, it changes. I'm not contractually obligated, sorry, to give you guys anything after today. So just the facts. I don't know if it matters. I mean, it still comes back to blocking and tackling and throwing and catching and running and taking care of the football. I mean, at the end of the day, personnel is personnel, and they're going to game plan with what they need to do and the way that they feel that they need to defend us, and same thing for us with them. I mean, you've got your tendencies, you've got your tips, you got your clues off of your film study, but everybody in this league does a terrific job of self-scouting and looking inward at yourself, kind of what you've done. Hey, where could we be scouted? Where are we a little bit skewed one way or the other to be able to show some balance? And everybody's really well coached. Obviously, Coach O'Brien and his staff are doing a terrific job and, present a lot of schematic challenges. We've had a go against Ted Roof in the past. They've gotten after us. He does a great job with their defense. So, it's going to be a great challenge. And obviously, Johnny, their special teams coordinator, was Minnesota, before Johnny Butler. So, we've got some familiarity there. They do a great job. Fast, they're physical. Their kids are playing with an attitude. They're playing for each other. They're playing for the university. It's impressive to watch what they're doing. I'm not surprised, though. They've got great leadership there from a standpoint of in their locker room. You saw it this summer, how they came together. It's really impressive to watch those young men, the way they're playing together.
Pat, you guys have had some good starts before. October's been a bit of a tough month. Is there anything key to playing well after the good start?
Yeah, Adam, we need to have an approach of no excuses. We got to time manage. We obviously start school full-fledged this week, and, we've got to be able to do a terrific job of handling our business appropriately and going to class and being where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be, which our guys do. I mean, we had a 3.04 team GPA last year. I mean, I'm not worried about us academically. So, we got to play above a 3.0 on Saturday. How does that sound? That's what we got to do. We got to be more consistent on Saturdays here in the month of October. And we've been pretty salty in September. We've been pretty good in November. And October is our month. We talked about it in the offseason. We talked about kind of having a plan of time managing better, of making sure we get done what we need to get done when we need to get it done, being professional in the way that we approach it, and really challenging our leaders to bring the guys in and not allowing the NCAA to hold them back. The NCAA only gives you 20 hours that we can work with them. They've got to be able to overcome that and be professional in their approach. And so far, the leadership and the maturity, although we're young, I think we've got good upper-class maturity and upper-class leadership that's going to show the guys how to do it. And I would say this, Adam, based on where we're at 5 weeks, this our look from our young guys on our scout team, this is the best that we've had. Those guys have really embraced those roles. They've given us a great look in practice. We've had very competitive practices, and that's my hope, is that group, now that they get a little bit more on their plate instead of, PlayStation and Facebook and sleep, they continue to have the kind of workload and the kind of prep that we need them to have for us to be successful.
You need to play that back for Daniel, your son, on that last part there. We'll come back with more with Pat Fitzgerald in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Back with more with Pat Fitzgerald in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we continue on. Pat Fitzgerald from his press conference earlier today talking about Northwestern. We'll hear Bill O'Brien tomorrow in this time slot.
Absolutely. Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, we talked about it on our staff retreat in length. It's probably of our 4-5 hours of our work time there. It was probably 2 hours of our conversation. We started talking about it last spring with the football team, and we've been talking about it now for a couple days, so hopefully you achieve what you emphasize.
Coach, what are some of the schematic differences between what you've seen in the past from Penn State under Coach Paterno and now what you're seeing this year under Coach O'Brien?
Yeah, it's completely different. It's completely different. Number one, offensively, Bill's going to put a lot of pressure on you formationally. They do a great job with formation variations, with some motions, by reducing the formation, by bunching the formation. by trying to get tip your hand on what you're doing. Matt's playing at a really high level. I've always thought highly of Matt McGloin. I thought he's been a guy that's been successful. He's tough. He's gritty. He takes hits. You know, you watch the way he played in the Virginia game. You know, he was a warrior in that game, gave him a chance to win, played really well on Saturday, did a great job taking what Temple gave him. You know, so really impressed with the way that he plays. I think Matt is one of the best offensive linemen in the country. The way he plays the center position is impressive. He's tough. He's physical. He's nasty. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, can get to the second level. You know, Robinson on the perimeter is making big plays along with Kenny, and they're playing a bunch of backs. They're doing a really good job. I mean, they're kind of role-playing guys. You know, Belton got back and was healthy, you know, on Saturday. They're doing a great job. And then defensively, you know, this will be the best defense we've played to date. I think they're 14th in the country in points against. They got six starters returning. They got after us a year ago. You know, Michael Mowdy is an impressive guy. You know, I watched the interview this summer. You know, there's no question he's a terrific leader. He's overcome a bunch of physical adversity through injuries. Gerald Hodges was an all-Big Ten player a year ago. Jordan Hill is as active and as physical of an inside guy. Amos and Morris and Willis and Steven are very active in the back end. They bring skill guys in and nickel. You know, they do a lot. Ted does a nice job schematically of attacking what you do and how you do it. They get in some double eagle stuff. They do a great job. And then the kicking game, they're physical, fast. They got playmakers. It's going to be a challenge. We understand what we're getting into. It's not going to be easy.
Coach, you mentioned the environment, and obviously you guys have won at Kinnick. You've won at Minnesota a couple times. You've won at the Big House. Mm-hmm. But Happy Valley's been tough for you guys. What makes that such a tricky environment to play in other than, obviously, 105,000 people? But
well, their students are awesome. I mean, I don't know how many students they have, 60,000? I don't know, however many, 50? It's a huge – I mean, they all come to the game. It's awesome. I mean, it's a great college environment. Their fans are very knowledgeable. I mean, obviously Pennsylvania football speaks for itself. We've got quite a few guys going home, you know, to play in front of their friends and family, and they're going to need to be focused and not get caught up in the moment and the environment, which I know they will. But it's just one of those great college environments, one of those great venues that, you know, you look forward to the challenge of it, and you got to focus, you got to execute, and you got to, you know, not get caught up in the emotion of the game. So hopefully our guys will do that. Hopefully we prepare them every day. You guys come to practice. We got music going every day, you know, just be a little louder. Bought about six more speakers, and it'd be fun.
Coach, you were talking about Penn State and the environment there and how your team, you know, may or may not be used to it. But given all that happened there over the past offseason, do you anticipate it being significantly different, if at all, well, for you or for your
family? Yeah, no, I mean – but, you know, all those things are out of our control, and, you know, we focus on ourselves. I mean, that's just what we do. We've, you know, obviously lift the victims up in our thoughts and our prayers. But, you know, as we've moved forward, I think so have they. And you got to tip your hat and be incredibly impressed with the job their coaching staff and their young men have done when it's come to playing the game of football. And, you know, they play for each other. They play as one, and they're playing with great passion, great physicality, and, you know, to go on the road to have this kind of challenge. We're going to find out kind of where we're at, you know, come 4 o'clock Eastern on Saturday.
Pat, you obviously took over this job at a tough time, but what can you say about what Bill has done, you know, in that situation, you know, just especially after they started 0-2 to get where they are now?
Yeah, Adam, you know, I can't speak for his situation. I would not in any way, shape, or form try to compare what we went through out of respect to our situation and obviously in respect to theirs, but he's a terrific football coach. You know, he's been successful at every level. The way that he's brought a tremendous staff of coaches together, retained a couple of, I think, just outstanding coaches, and Coach Johnson and Coach Vanderlyn, and who I've got the utmost respect for both of those gentlemen. You know, and obviously their young men have stuck together. They've banded together as brothers, and they're playing for each other, and they're playing for their school. And as an outsider, from afar, and as someone who's just had really, you know, days them on tape and then read up on what they've gathered and collectively, you know, to us and the way that we value things here in our program, it's that old coachism, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% what you do about it. And I think in their 90% of their response as a football family, you know, we're very respectful and very impressed by what Coach O'Brien and what his young men have done.
Coach, looking back at last year's game, I mean, you guys had a lead, like I think 21-0, a few touchdowns, and then right before the half, they're able to score. Mm-hmm. So that was 2 years ago on at Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
How important in a place like that? I mean, it's always important on the road not to let the other team get momentum. Mm-hmm. But in that game, you had all, you know, had all the momentum. You had mm-hmm. that stadium silent, and then before the half, they get noisy, they get a
mm-hmm.
big play.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you counseling your players just there to keep kind of keep control of the game?
Yeah, I mean, you just can't get caught up in the emotion. You got to be consistent. You know, I mean, that's the key in everything that you do. And that's our challenge right now, just as a whole program. We've got to be just much more consistent in everything that we're doing. So, I mean, that's what I'm going to talk to them about, you know, and that's what I talked to them about today is our consistency needs to improve. I think if we do that, we've got a chance to have a good football team. You know, we're just not there yet. We're too young in too many places, you know, and this will be, and we had a great road test in the opener at Syracuse. And, you know, we didn't get an A+, but we won, right? So I think we take great confidence from that. We've been in some close games now early in the year, and this will be a tough one. I mean, we know that. That's why you come play Big Ten football, though. So our guys will be excited for the challenge, and, you know, we'll do our best this week as coaches to put them in as hostile of environment and practice as we can, like we do every week, and hopefully they'll handle it well.
That is Pat Fitzgerald, the football coach at Northwestern. Tomorrow in this same time slot, we'll hear from Bill O'Brien and his thoughts on the game. It's been an exciting opening hour in which we heard from Pat Fitzgerald, and I broke down Northwestern, talked a lot of football. Meanwhile, Kevin talked about people going around in circles fast.
Really fast.
You certainly get this show from all angles.